All right. Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast live. Well, not live. We are live together. Jamie is a special intern just for Jamie Eisenberg. This is Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's the daily CBS Sports NFL podcast. I'm sorry to report that for the first time, we almost made an entire year, and then I effed up, and I didn't send the right file in on Wednesday, and so we missed an episode, and I'm truly sorry for that, podcast listeners. But good news, I got Brady Quinn and Jamie Eisenberg here with me right now. We're going to bang out a show, and then Pete Briscoe is going to sit down after he does whatever Pete does.
He's going number one.
It's definitely number one.
It's number one.
It's the seventh time he's gone since I got in here at like 11.
Well, yeah, he's old. He's probably got prostate issues. Let's just be honest, all right?
100%.
Yeah.
I was saying that Pete, like, I had to get up at 4:05 this morning to get to make my flight. Humble brag.
How many times did you sleep on the plane?
I did not. I worked.
So you've been up since 4 a.m.?
4 a.m.
Wow.
I'm a man of the people.
What did you do on the plane? You sleep? You can sleep on a plane?
Oh, I fell asleep.
I cannot do that.
I've ceased being able to sleep on planes. In like the last 5 years, it's brutal.
Really?
Yeah. So I can't do red eyes. I stay awake the whole time on red eyes.
I'm with you. Usually, but then you get a lot of work done.
It's probably because, you know, when athletes' bodies age, it just becomes tougher
to 50?
Yeah, getting there. No. It's more the fact that for whatever reasons I have kids, I don't sleep well ever.
Right. I don't either.
Can't nap. I'm the exact opposite. I get 2 hours by myself where there's no distractions and I can sleep.
Oh.
See,
I push too many things off.
You got two kids. So I can see my kids. I have three. You know, you guys gotta step up your game a little bit.
When I get one more, I'll probably be just that exhausted, right?
Yes. We're stepping up our podcast game this week. We will be live doing the show, the Pick Six Rundown. Sit down whenever you want, Pete. Live from 12 to 1 at the Combine, doing video, an hour long video show. Fun guest and friends stopping by, including Pete Briscoe of TennesseeTitans.com. How you doing?
I did. I'm from TennesseeTitans.com.
You were over there for 45 minutes.
Are you employed yet? Did they give you the job?
Huh?
Did they give you the job? Yeah.
Are you Mike Vrabel's DC? What's happening?
Oh, jeez. No, you'd be the general manager, right? Take over for John Robinson?
I'd be the GM.
I heard him give quite possibly the greatest analogy ever today when he was on the podium at his press conference. He was talking about like what they were looking for from their quarterbacks for like Marcus Mariota, just kind of talking about the overall situation there in Nashville. And he's like, well, we need a guy who can take the snap, who can drop back, who can, you know, figure out which guy he's supposed to go to, and then throw the football to him accurately. That was how he described to the media here in the Combine what they need.
Marcus Mariota?
I would not.
Almost damned if you do and damned if you don't.
I would not.
I would not either.
I would not.
Would you pay Dak Prescott?
Yes.
Would you, Brady?
I would.
You would?
I would pay Marcus Mariota one of those Ryan Tannehill, Andy Dalton deals.
Or a Colin Kaepernick one, where you line it with all these incentives and you take away money the longer it goes.
At this point, paying the quarterback, because it's almost like you're not paying the quarterback. Right.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't give him Jay Cutler deal.
What would you give Dak Prescott?
No. Here's what I'm saying. Like, you gotta get in the Colin Kaepernick deal. Remember the deal he signed where if he didn't hit some of his incentives, he would get less?
Yeah.
Like it kept coming off of his contract?
Right. But what would you pay Dak Prescott? Because this is news today, is they're talking about.
Okay, look, I would say this. I think he's worth $20 million average annual salary a year. I think he's worth that.
Right.
So you could give him $40-50 million in guarantees. He'll probably sign for like 60, but more than that, I think you're extending yourself a bit.
He's proven that he's not an elite guy, but he's also proven that when he has talent and weapons around him, he could be a playoff caliber quarterback.
Okay, but can he carry a team?
I mean, his rookie year, did he?
Well, no. here's what I'd say though. In his
last year, did he?
No.
Okay, but I don't know
if he can carry a team.
He doesn't need to carry him. He just needs to be able to close. And go look at his fourth quarter comebacks and how many game-winning drives he's got in the short time that he's played. When the pressure's been on the line, he's actually stepped up and played big in those moments when pressure has been on his shoulders. Now, regardless of how he's got it done, I wouldn't say carrying them because I think
they lean on Zeke Elliott
carries them. Their offensive line carries them.
But in crucial situations, they're leaning on him.
No, he just is clutch, and he makes the plays when he's called upon, kind of like Russell Wilson early in his career. So I think the only difference is, one, the defense of the Cowboys hasn't been as good. And you had a little bit more issues.
Last year, though.
Right. This past year. I mean, we'll see, though. No Randy Gregory. David Irving's now a free agent. You've got DeMarcus Lawrence. They got to figure that situation out. So if I'm Dak, I mean, honestly, this might be one of the few situations where I would tell a player, you might want to think about trying to make some room for Amari Cooper, for Zeke Elliott, for...
No. Never. ever.
You could say that never ever, but in this case, like, he needs them.
Do you think that Jerry Jones is doing
next year? We're going to ask you to make some room for Danny Cannell. How's that going to go over?
Here's what I do is, I want to do this. Give me more of my signing bonus, right? So I can prorate it over so it fits under the cap. And I'll gladly take more long-term security to restructure my deal, of course.
Is Jerry Jones doing himself a disservice by coming down here and doing, I mean, he does the same thing every year, but it's like,
Party in Indianapolis? What do you mean?
What's that?
Party in Indianapolis?
Yes. Mean? Drive a big bus, party all week, and then be like, yeah, we gotta pay Dak, gotta pay, Zeke, gotta pay, DeMarcus, we're gonna pay everybody. Everybody gets paid. Gonna make it rain.
You can make it work. You can make the cap like, work any way you want to make it work.
I mean, the Rams just proved that, right?
Right. He can make it work.
But you don't have to pay Zeke Elliott this year or
Dak it's different
Prescott.
Though, right? I mean, look, Amari Cooper's wanting a long-term deal, not like a 2-3-year deal.
But they just gave Brandon Cooks the
okay. Money. So, he fits more of the Amari Cooper part of that conversation. Okay. So Brandon Cooks ends up being your Amari Cooper in this scenario, right?
Gurley, so that's
Zeke Elliott ends up being, Todd Gurley in this scenario.
And in this essence, the comparison would be giving Dak the Donald money.
Right. But then you also have DeMarcus Lawrence.
DeMarcus Lawrence got to get the
franchise.
For a second year?
Yeah.
Once he pulls a Le'Veon Bell, doesn't play.
Then you don't play. Then he sits out and he's an idiot.
I think the,
okay,
I think, no,
but
I think
you're trying to win a Super Bowl. If you're Jason Garrett, you want that to happen?
No, but the Steelers didn't want Le'Veon Bell to sit out either. But you
different
can't.
Story. Jason Garrett's in the final year of his contract. Mike Tomlin
too.
Wasn't.
I mean, you know,
and
if you tag DeMarcus Lawrence and then you don't hammer out a deal by July 15th, he's out of there. And yeah.
Where?
Out of Dallas.
Out of Dallas after 2019. And you lose a 27-year-old pass.
You have
rusher,
no leverage at that
fine.
Point. You have no leverage at that point. The Cowboys for
but
the
I think,
long term.
I think so. What are you pay him? What are you going to pay him?
20.
Give
him what just give
him
what he wants.
Right now,
just give him what he wants.
You kind of have to.
No, you don't.
So what would you? So what would you? Where would you be your cap for DeMarcus Lawrence?
Well, I'm not paying him Aaron Donald money. I can tell you that right now. I'm not paying him Khalil Mack money.
To Jamie's point, I think you've got to do DeMarcus Lawrence long term if you like him. Because to Will's point, there's no chance you could play. Have a plan on the franchise tag a second year. He's gone. If he does decide to play, if he doesn't sit out like Bell, he'd be gone. He's got too much leverage after this. So to Jamie's point,
what if he doesn't play well?
Well, and that's another consideration. But
well, there's also a little risk for him.
There's a risk for all those players not playing well after
game. Based on track record,
there was an unsaid, and I think it's been acknowledged now by Stephen Jones and the Cowboys that they were going to tag DeMarcus Lawrence last year, and if he went out there and he balled out, he was going to get paid. And that was, I understand it doesn't, that's not how it works. There wasn't, there was no memorandum of understanding.
What kind of
deal's
on the table for him right now?
What's that?
You don't know what deal's on the table for him right now.
I think what they're offering is lower than what he wants. I think the number he wants.
Yeah. Oh yeah, is that how it works? You don't have a deal done yet? Shocker, Will.
I know. I actually have some intel on this one. I think the number that DeMarcus Lawrence wants is substantially higher. Then
because for the exact reason you're throwing your threat out there that he don't think you'll tag him.
Can
in
we
lead.
Come to an agreement though? If the number was what DeMarcus Lawrence wanted, he would just sign a long term deal.
I'm saying I think there's a significant.
Does he want
board.
Khalil Mack okay. money?
Well, the compensation that you've offered us to do the show is not as high as what we're expecting.
Unfortunately, those numbers are the same.
Brinson, do you think he wants Khalil Mack money?
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Would you pay him Khalil Mack money?
I wouldn't want to, but I'm not sure the Cowboys have a whole lot of
this is
choice.
An interesting conversation to me because there's two thoughts here, right? So, you know, with quarterbacks, like Matt Ryan signed his deal, which is the biggest we had seen for a moment. And then Aaron Rodgers is like, okay, now I'm going to sign my deal and surpass you, right? And so there's this thought with quarterbacks that like the next quarterback whose contract comes up, he might say to the team, well, this is the market value of a franchise quarterback. This is what you got to pay me. Aaron Rodgers money, right? And I feel like a player like Aaron Donald has all of a sudden started to change that conversation in regards to how you're looking at other positions. Like Grady Jarrett comes to mind. Like all of a sudden, is Grady Jarrett going to the Atlanta Falcons?
No.
Looking at Aaron Donald's deal and saying that? I don't know.
He's
Are you sure he's not?
But he ain't getting it.
And that's the question that all these players now, because they're getting a little bit more leverage, I think, than, you know, maybe what it used to be, because the money's getting up there as the salary cap grows. Now they're saying, all right, you know, you got to pay me like whatever that market value is to be this position based on the top contract if it's close.
We're not talking about a like former defensive player of the year coming off back surgery at the age of 32. This is a fringe defensive player of the year candidate who has played really well for 2 years in a row, who's in his prime. You have to pay that guy.
Right. But you can't be stupid about it either.
But if you're
just
him,
pay him whatever.
But if you're him, why would you take anything less than exactly what you want, knowing you would play one more year?
I mean, the point, the thing you have to figure out is what the market is outside of Dallas, because that's going to determine it.
If he feels
he can get Aaron Donald or Khalil Mack money from,
he would get that if
teams.
He was a pure free agent this year.
You think?
Oh, yes.
I think he would.
100%.
I mean, maybe close to it, but not. He's not going to exceed it.
I don't know if you can take that strategy yet. All you can really do is go off of what the franchise tag would be for him for a second year, right? Because that's the option for Dallas. Either they sign him to a long-term deal, they don't, they tag him.
So at that one-year cost,
now you're looking at that as the floor of your negotiations if you're DeMarcus Lawrence.
Sure.
And you're saying, I need at least 2 years of guarantees. Well, probably whatever it would be this year for that salary, and then looking at what it would escalate to in a third year if he got tagged, and that's your negotiation point.
And if I'm negotiating with him, I'm going to tell him, hey, I'm against you. Hey, your sack totals went down from 14.5 to 10.5.
I mean, that's just going to ring hollow. Nobody's like, oh, he's down to 10.5. It's like, then his response is, okay, that's cool. I'll play this year on a one-year contract. You and Randy Gregory can hang out next year and enjoy your defense.
And then he plays this year, and he goes down to 8.5 sacks, and I don't have to pay him nothing.
Still,
I mean, these guys, you got to be real. You can't just pay. You're like over there, pay him whatever the hell he wants. That's your philosophy.
No, it's not my philosophy.
But that's what you just said over there.
The Brisson compound, we get paid whatever we want.
Yeah. You've been. That's a surprisingly long amount of time that it took.
No more oyster dinners for the Brinsons. We just paid DeMarcus Lawrence whatever the hell he wants.
I mean, you've been doing this thing where you hop up on the CBS cameras for years. You're like, I came up with a four-prong thing. Quarterbacks, pass rushers, cornerbacks, and what the hell's the other thing?
The guy protects the quarterback.
It's five-prong now because you got to add the big play receiver. Now.
Right, but like the
he's last, the though. He's last.
Yeah.
But like, running back?
Who's the
He's about 12.
Who's the second guy you pay?
Huh?
You pay the quarterback first, and then what's the second most important position?
The guy who hits the quarterback.
The guy who protects the quarterback.
No, the guy,
no,
hits
the guy who hits him. That is the guy who protects him.
I get him, but you
that's
can't just pay him anything
that's
and
the guy
everything.
Who makes plays for him.
I know, but like, but to Brady's point.
You pay him more than Aaron Donald the way you talk.
No, I'm just saying I think you have to go north of $20 million a year for him.
Well, like I said.
Like, he's not going to take $8 million.
What about Clowney?
He'll get tagged.
Clowney's a different story, though, because he's had multiple surgeries, too.
He's had multiple injuries. He
Who's
hasn't
the
had as consistent production.
I'd rather have Clowney.
I think Clowney has more top-end ability. Right. But DeMarcus Lawrence has been more consistent.
There, though, of him not being as hard of a worker, what Bill O'Brien talked about today.
Well, then you have J.J. Watt, though. He's like the hardest worker ever. So that might just be the fact that you look at J.J. Watt and you're like,
yeah.
Well, that guy doesn't look
okay.
like he's working as
what
hard.
What do you pay Frank Clark?
I mean, I think that
he's a beast.
I think pass rushers are approaching 20.
Frank Clark played great this year.
Really great. I mean, beast.
Well, he's every bit as good this year as DeMarcus Lawrence was.
I thought somebody was shushing us. I think that if you want to pay, I was like,
somebody doesn't like this conversation.
It's Frank Clark, guy. I think that if you want, this is loud ambient. No, I don't have an ambient noise.
Pete, can you sleep to this?
Oh, yeah. I actually can't. I can't sleep anymore without white noise
app.
Really?
Because we use the yeah. Dane is on the patrol.
He's on. Oh no!
Get him, Dane.
Dane.
I don't know how it's going to work, considering it's actually on like the loud.
You can't,
speakers
Brinson. You can't sleep to the sleep app anymore.
Oh, there we go. It's gone. I can't sleep without the white noise because I'm used to my son's.
Thank God that we have the. Thank God the app got invented because then I don't have to turn the water on in the bathroom anymore.
Yeah. Oh my God. Do you know about the story? Do you know about the bathroom story?
The noise is back. Maybe it's a sign.
Do you know about Pete's bathroom story?
No.
This is unbelievable. Pete would go to hotel rooms and travel. This is back in the day before there were noisemakers. He would run the toilet or run the shower
faucet.
Or the sink overnight to help him sleep.
Oh my gosh.
He's wasting like
what a waste
thousands
of, water.
Of gallons of water.
What do I care?
First world problems for this guy.
It's more about me. I had to sleep.
What's good for me is good for me. Is that the Crisco
compound? Yeah. We just run water all day long.
No, back then, because then you had to pay for it.
Because it's not at the
hotel. But I was at the hotel.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping in Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Can we transition to another topic?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so Kevin Colbert talked about
Antonio Brown.
Today about Antonio Brown. And then he said, look,
host it.
Open for business, said he didn't say he wouldn't trade him within the AFC conference.
He said, were you there for him or did you talk to him on Sirius?
Didn't talk to him on Sirius, but I heard.
So I was standing there when he said it. He was asked, would you
Jamie
consider,
basically talked to him.
Would you consider, I was listening, would you consider trading him within the division? And he said essentially like what you were saying.
Yeah.
He'll take the best offer.
Of course. Point. Which, by the way, so this is the time of year where you're filling out all those feelers, right? Like you're out there, you're going to the other 31 teams, like give me your best offer. Because the thing is do they want to trade him within the division? Of course not. But if a team within the division offers a first round pick for him, right? Then that's the asking price for a team in the NFC.
Well, not only that, what if the best you're getting from a team in the NFC is a third round pick?
Exactly.
You got a first rounder in a division. You're taking the first round.
Yeah.
So if you're the Browns pick at 17, I believe.
I'm not giving a first round pick for the kid.
Second round I would. First round, depending on where it's at, that'd be tough.
I give up.
Back into the first round, I wouldn't be.
I give him a 3 and a 5.
If you're the Patriots, would you contemplate it?
A 3 and a 5?
No.
A 1.
A 1?
A 1.
Yeah. So actually,
they got so many picks this year.
So Pete, on CBS, CBSSports.com today, I ranked 31 possible trade offers. I created 31 different trade offers, one for each team.
Clickbait.
It's not clickbait. It's like,
okay, let's hear him. Let's hear him.
All right. So, and I ranked him in order of like most to least likely. Like the Ravens offered a third round pick because they know the Steelers aren't going to make the deal. Number one, Seahawks. Seahawks send their first round pick, number 21, and a fourth round pick, number 124, for Antonio Brown and a third round pick, number 83.
No chance the Steelers give up any draft picks.
Give them a third. You get a first and a fourth back.
Seahawks make sense. I don't think that happens.
Seahawks could make some sense. I don't know if it's the best.
Maybe
fit,
the
but
Seahawks
could
trade two first rounders like for him, like they did for Percy Harvin.
Jesus. Or Max Unger in a first round. All right, what about this? The Eagles.
By the way, I remember I was in Seattle during that offseason when we did that. During the draft, I remember our quarterback coach, Carl Smith, said something like,
Tater.
I was like, what do you guys mean doing in the first round? Tater goes, I'm going to be watching our first round pick, Percy Harvin, hang out at OTAs. He's like, that's what I'm going to be doing.
Eagles trade a 2019 second round pick, number 53 overall, and a 2020 second round pick, TBD, for Antonio Brown.
You made this up. These are your best top two.
I mean,
where do you have the Colts on there to trade one? They're,
the
they
Colts,
have two twos.
49ers.
The Colts,
49ers.
Okay, I was talking to Chris Ballard today. Chris Ballard was up at the podium, and he was asked about how guys fit in and guys being willing to sacrifice their statistics. To me, it makes it pretty. You know, he said if they were to get somebody, they might go over the top for it. I don't think Antonio Brown fits with the Colts.
Le'Veon Bell also, if you're listening to what Frank Reich said too.
Yeah. He was,
very much behind.
Now, I had the Raiders. The Raiders could give up 27, and I'm not saying that the Raiders need to go get a receiver like Antonio Brown, but it would be perfectly Gruden to replace Amari Cooper.
They're rebuilding. They're going to go get Antonio Brown. By the time they're any good and they go to Vegas, he's not going to be any good.
Who the hell knows what they're doing? Let's not
are they even sold on Derek Carr?
Mayock seemed to be.
Yeah.
No. Is John Gruden sold on him?
No, for another year.
No chance no. he is.
But
no chance he is.
Seems to make it very clear there.
But that's Mayock understanding how this game works. He's been doing it for 20 years.
I'm just.
He called him a franchise quarterback, but then he said, "We of course will look at all options." I don't know. If there's an upgrade available.
John Gruden's making the decision, though, right?
Yes.
I'll be honest with you.
Mayock said that too.
I don't think the market for Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell is going to be very good.
Who would you, if you were Kevin Colbert, what would you want for Antonio Brown?
A three. I want him out of. I want him the hell out of there. I'd want a one, but I'd take the three.
I think a two is realistic.
I think it's interesting that they haven't allowed. Well, I understand why they haven't allowed Drew Rosenhaus to be a part of this to then try to help orchestrate a deal, right? Because the considerations of the Steelers aren't. They're not going to take into consideration what Antonio Brown wants, right? Because they want cap space and they want the ability to renegotiate with that team when they get there. Pittsburgh Steelers don't care. That's the problem once they
get Antonio Brown wants
right?
a good landing
well,
spot.
That's what Colbert said today. He's like, he went as far to say, like, we don't have to trade him.
They don't.
But it's interesting to hear that because I think most people are along the lines of what you said, Pete. Like, you just want him out of the building at this point because of all the drama.
Well, they're trying to drive up the trade market.
Agreed. But
I don't think they're going to take a three for him and just call it a day.
And they'll just deal with the headache. They've dealt with a headache for a season already.
If you don't trade him.
No,
yeah, but if you don't trade him and say come back and play, we're not trading you, and he doesn't show up, he doesn't get paid.
That's the one thing in this whole Antonio Brown situation that everybody overlooks, former players, everybody. He quit on his team. He quit. He didn't show up.
Who overlooks that?
A lot of the players overlook it.
When you say he quit,
not you,
left practice?
Brady. I'm not saying you, Brady. Don't worry. I'm not talking about
practice?
You. Huh?
Because he left practice?
He quit.
You talking about practice?
Because he showed up for the game to play.
You talking about practice?
Well,
though.
But he didn't show up for anything else
Is
during
Pete
the week.
Pete talking about practice?
Talking about practice?
Talking about practice.
Talking about practice?
Practice.
I could go AI on you.
I didn't know if Pete knew who that was.
I'd give you an elbow to
Pete's
Pete.
Actually sneaky.
He's pretty versatile with all that. Yeah, I've heard that.
I went here 1 year at the combine because AI was playing here and I wanted to go watch him play live.
I never saw him play live.
You know who my comp is? Kyler Murray? Allen Iverson on grass. That's who he reminds me of. Because I saw Allen Iverson play basketball one time. He was flying around. I was like, no one's playing as fast as that guy. You go watch Kyler Murray on film. That's who he looks like, in college at least.
Go Google some of Allen Iverson's quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
He's great.
Okay, awesome. So while we're talking about Kyler Murray, since we're just segueing all over the place. But
there was a segue.
What did I do? I don't even know what I did.
You always go, you guys go, ooh.
You guys were having an organic discussion about Kyler Murray. Brady Quinn, you think it's one name. Brady Quinn.
Well, in the Brinson compound, we addressed everybody by their first and last names.
I don't know Bobby Brinson.
I don't know. Wait, what's your full name? I was going to
Braden.
Braden Quinn. I didn't know Braden that. Quinn. Braden Quinn.
He was on a Super Bowl credential.
That's right.
We heard you saved the Super Bowl, by the way. Well,
just like Robert Brinson is on yours.
Robert Brinson saved the Super Bowl.
And yes. It's still Robert.
See, mine still says Pete Prisco.
Not Peter.
That's how people know you, though.
Last night at dinner, they dropped out his credit card. Pizza.
Pizza.
Do you think if my name had been
someplace very fancy, where they called them pizza?
High velocity. You think that the Cardinals are in play for Kyler Murray at number one?
Yeah, I do. I'll believe it until, obviously, after the draft.
By the way, Steve Kime.
That's like Brinson's negotiations.
And after the draft.
I know about you too.
Hey, look, Steve Kime had a chance to shut down all the rumors, and he was asked about it today. And I'm going to let you tell you what he said to us. But he said he's our quarterback for now. I mean,
he hasn't even started the evaluation of the quarterbacks yet.
Okay, but.
If you're sold on Rosen, you're not saying anything.
Here's the thing,
you're sold on Rosen.
He told me, I talked to him, and he told me he sold him. You saw him. He was here. He said he sold on Rosen. Rosen will be their quarterback. Cliff Kingsbury ain't making that decision.
And here's the only thing that I think, if that's the logic they're going with, is you took this risk and bring in Cliff Kingsbury, right? There's a pretty big risk there based on everything that people are saying about what it was. So there's a lot of risk there.
Yeah.
But if you're going to take that risk, wouldn't you want him to have the type of quarterback that he needs and ultimately to make this risk pay off if you're going to go that far? It's like swimming halfway across a river and saying, I don't know, the water looks like it's pretty tough. I don't think I can go any further. You swim the other half back.
Why can't he make it work with Rosen?
It's not that I don't think he can't make it work with Rosen. I just think when you look at his systems, look at the quarterbacks that have been successful with what he's had, as far as putting up stats and numbers, you've got to have a guy that's more mobile, right? I mean,
Well, who do you have? He had Mahomes.
Mahomes. He had Mayfield in his freshman year.
He had Davis Webb, didn't he?
Davis Webb, which they weren't very good that year.
Right. And they weren't very good with Mahomes.
So, well, Mahomes, that was when their defense was bad and they started to be a little more competitive.
Yeah, but. See, he always has to bend the rule. They weren't good with Mahomes there, but the defense wasn't good.
The defense was probably as worst as
so
ever.
So who were his quarterbacks at Texas Tech? It was Mahomes.
He had Mayfield for his freshman year.
Right.
Then ended up being Webb for, I want to say, a year. There was a year where literally it was Davis Webb. Mahomes played a little bit, but like got knocked out, had some injuries, and then Vinny Testaverde Jr. came in at one point. I was calling a game when that happened. That was a lot of fun.
Vinny Testaverde Jr. is actually 34. He's
right. But he can still bench press like 500 pounds. Yeah, yeah.
And then who?
No, he had Graham Harrell too, right?
He didn't have Graham Harrell.
Graham Harrell?
It was Graham Harrell. no, he had Case Keenum. About. Case Keenum at Houston.
That was a Houston. He had Johnny Manziel at A&M.
Was Graham Harrell after him? Was Graham Harrell at Hawaii? I don't remember.
And then, Graham Harrell's at USC.
And then who was the quarterback he had last year? That
Well, he had like three.
Yeah, and yeah, the one kid got hurt, right?
The lefty McLean got hurt, and then they brought in Jet Duffy, was a big recruit. He hasn't really developed as a passer. And then Alan Bowman was the freshman who came in and actually lit it up. And by the way, but all those guys have more athletic ability. And by the way, Rosen has some athleticism. He's not an athlete. Just saying, if you gave him a dynamic playmaker like Kyler Murray, who can also throw it very well, I think that would be the best fit for what his system is. And here's what you have to know about Cliff. He recruited that young man. He knows his family. He's followed him almost his entire career, and he's played against them. So, you know,
Cliff didn't recruit Josh Rosen?
No.
Why?
So if you were Steve Kime,
you mean why? He didn't recruit him.
He didn't. Texas Tech
He was focused on trying to recruit Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray.
So if you were Steve Kime, you would trade Rosen and draft Murray to make Kingsbury.
If you're Steve Kahn, you have one more year left, right?
To put Kingsbury in the best position to have success.
You have one more year.
Just for the record, Graham Harrell followed Kingsbury at Texas Tech. That's
right.
Sort of where my
head is. Didn't have him.
Yeah. I know. I'm admitting I messed up.
Would you do as Kime in this situation?
What would I do if I was
Kime?
What
would you do? You hired Kingsbury. You want to make him.
If I'm the one who hired Kingsbury, I'd be like, I'm going to do whatever this guy wants in order to make it successful. Because ultimately, that's what my job this year is weighing on.
Well, no, but what
his short-term success?
Would you do?
Would draft Murray and try and trade Rosen?
If that's what Cliff Kingsbury wants, yes.
See, I would. Me, I look at it and say, I have Rosen. I have Chandler Jones on one side, and now I'm going to have Nick Bosa on the other side.
My concern is that you don't want to trade Rosen. Like, I think you have to figure out a way. The only way you could trade Rosen is if you were getting back a pick that will allow you to get as good a package of Rosen and Bosa. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can get 15 from the Redskins, that's great. But I don't know if you trade Rosen for a second-round pick, because I don't think you're getting a player.
No, you have to get a first-round pick.
I don't think you're going to get a first-round.
But that's the problem.
Wait,
I don't...
if Rosen, as he was last year, was in this draft, would he go before Kyler Murray?
Yes.
Would he go before who?
Kyler Murray.
No.
He wouldn't?
No?
I would not put Josh Rosen ahead of Kyler Murray in this draft.
Okay, you called a couple
think about this. Yeah. Think about this way. So, if you looked at last year's quarterback class, right, four in the top 10, Baker Mayfield, obviously Cleveland thought he was the best quarterback because they were drafting number one. You could probably still make the case, though, that maybe the Jets had Sam Darnold higher than they did Baker Mayfield.
Right.
And so maybe that was their guy. And you could probably still make the case that Buffalo wasn't taking Hamdy Downs either. They actually wanted Josh Allen because each one of those guys all had one distinguishing trait that was better than the other or better, at least, than Rosen, right? Allen was big athlete, strongest arm by far. Baker Mayfield's the most accurate. Darnold probably was the guy that, in my opinion, when you look at what he had around him at USC and you look at what they were this year without him, he elevated the talent and ability of everyone else around him. He made that team go, and they were not good this year, to be put it lightly. Okay, so they each had every one of those traits. Every single one of them was better than Rosen. So the Cardinals were probably the team that felt like they had to take and draft a quarterback at number 10 and took one. But I guarantee you, if Josh Allen was there, if Baker Mayfield was there, if Sam Darnold was there, they would have taken one of them.
Here's the other part of that question. If Baker Mayfield doesn't have the success he had in his rookie season, would people be pumping up Kyler Murray the way
they
are
much.
Right now?
Not as much, no.
And watching Baker Mayfield, he was fantastic last year, but he also stepped into the best situation of all.
Besides Lamar Jackson, who had a great run for his period of time,
The situation in Arizona is awful.
It was terrible. And look, I did some of those games late in the year, and I'll say this more than like it's hard to evaluate Josh Rosen because that offensive line was so bad.
Three guys,
and they
off
didn't
the,
have
three rookies off the scrap heap.
Well, at one point they had five or six starting,
right?
And you had Larry Fitzgerald. Now is it? Christian Kirk was hurt, and they didn't have anyone else. And so when people were saying, well, why did he throw so many interceptions? Well, he was throwing to a guy in Larry Fitzgerald who has a hard time separating now at this age, and then they're always playing from behind. So they're a one-dimensional offense. It's hard to put a rookie in.
You can't use his evaluation.
I want to ask you this, because you may know this. When Les Snead hired Sean McVay, knowing that he had Jared Goff, did McVay take the job because of Goff, in essence? Or was he comfortable enough with Goff? Or would Snead have considered maybe something similar? And the same thing with the Bears and hiring Nagy. Was Nagy so enamored with Trubisky? Because I think something, I mean, obviously Kingsbury wasn't the best.
I think we had this discussion when McVay was hired. It's like, they might go sign Kirk Cousins because Jared Goff's not the guy after a single year.
Kingsbury's still not happening. In the position to say, I have my pick of the litter of jobs because of how his situation is.
Kingsbury
unfolded.
Doesn't have any juice there
but,
yet.
But understandably so.
Kingsbury, problem. By the way, at the combine
yeah,
today.
He does.
No. He said,
look, if this doesn't work out, everyone's gone, right? This is a one and done if this doesn't work out.
Kingsbury was so asked don't if he tell knows me about a trade, and he said,
you want to make it work, so don't you want to do what you want them to do?
I think the point would be is that are we writing Rosen off, and I know you evaluated him lower than those guys.
No, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I could see like if someone's going to trade a first-round pick, you know you probably should? Washington.
Yeah.
Or Miami,
but I would say more Washington because needs you don't know about Alex Smith. They need a guy who's seasoned who can play, and he would fit in Jay Gruden's system.
I think just looking at it as could –
And, I had that in
Kingsbury
my mock draft.
Having
thanks
his,
for asking.
His own feelings about what he wants, but at the same time, can he just do what Nagy did for Trubisky and what McVay did for Goff, and just having a better coach, better system, year of
better
experience,
team around them,
year of experience, helping all these factors, well, and then Rosen comes out and looks.
It's
like
gonna be. It's,
well, I mean, would Jared Goff had become Jared Goff in the second year if they don't sign John Sullivan and Andrew Whitworth
no,
to play on that
absolutely
offensive line?
And Robert Woods.
Is that option out there for the Cardinals?
They're going to spend money.
The Bears
they've
the same
signed
thing.
Pretty much every free agent that's been out there
The Bears did nothing for Trubisky as a rookie, and they go out to get Allen Robinson. They get Trey Burton. They signed Taylor Gabriel. You know, they did all these things to make
they
him.
They were literally copying the Rams. Like
100%. And you would assume the Cardinals did the same thing.
You would think so. That's not Steve Kime's MO necessarily. He's typically waded into free agency in a little bit more of a
but
secondary
if they
way
fix
fashion.
The offensive line, look, Fitzgerald can still play.
Well, they also had a ton of injuries on that offensive line.
Kirk is a decent young receiver. You have Clay and Seals Jones that can
David Johnson.
Complete the and then you have, you know, still one of the better running backs.
David Johnson, Chase Edmonds. Here's the thing is you keep going back to Keim. At some point, it's Michael Bidwell. Because you keep talking about how, well, it's Keim's season. Keim says, no, it's not. Because if this doesn't work, right, this ultimately is going to fall on Bidwell. He's the one who's got to pay for everyone. Steve Wilkes included in that whole staff.
That's the scary thing about it is if you're getting into an owner making football decisions, that's dangerous.
And I'm not saying that he's making football decisions.
That's
I'm just saying
the general manager.
No. I'm saying ultimately, you know, it may go higher than even Steve Keim as far as how these decisions are made now, only because you'd have to look at who's going to have to pay the bill if things don't work out.
As Steve Keim, you would allow Kingsbury to get what he wants.
Yes, I hired him.
Would you do the same
thing? Wouldn't you allow him to maximize what he feels like he needs to be successful?
I would lean on my own personal evaluation of it. I don't know if Steve Keim likes Rosen or Murray better. We saw him earlier today. I mean, you seem to think it might be Rosen. I would lean on my personal evaluation. I would talk to my coach. If I thought that Rosen and Murray were close and Kingsbury told me he wanted to go with Murray, then I would make that trade happen.
Here's the difference between the NFL and college. All right. In the NFL, if you inherit a guy that doesn't fit your system or that you don't necessarily like, he's not your guy. You're gone. In college, you just recruit, right? You're bringing in the type of guy that you want. If there's some guy already there and it's the freshman that's coming in is going to take over. It's the guy you just recruited.
But Brady, isn't
that's
it
essentially
on the head,
what this is.
Isn't it on the head coach to make it work with the guy he has? Yeah, look, you're going to be stubborn enough. This is my system, so I'm not going to let it work with Josh Rosen.
Welcome to the NFL.
They're in such a weird spot, though, because they have – still a young prospect in Rosen that I would say still has a relatively high.
Rosen can be a franchise quarterback. Right. There's no doubt.
And then why would you get rid of him?
But
then you have the chance to get the guy that the coach wants. It's very rare that you have this situation.
And so why would you get rid of him if he's going to be a franchise
quarterback? Well, I think the first thing that they need to explore is what the trade market is for Rosen. So if they're getting a first round pick from Washington or Miami or some random team, the Giants maybe or whoever, you know, Jacksonville maybe says they love Rosen and they make a deal to go
Oakland down. Forgot about Oakland. Him last year and right. decided they want him
so,
now.
Even so if,
they
have the if there is a team that says we will give you our first round
Gruden
pick.
Gruden gives him number four
for
Rosen.
And, well, it's
your... It would be such a John Gruden amazing. Thing to do.
I'm going to give you four.
Hey,
just give me two.
We don't have any pass rushers either. Is that Khalil got Mack still got? Is he still on a roster? Trade him. Yeah. Trade him. All right. Amari Cooper. First round.
No, that's that guy right there, Amari
Cooper. But in essence, I mean, look, if they get good enough value for Rosen, then it solves their problem.
Other than the fact that their quarterback just went from 6'4" to 5'8".
Well, I do have a question because John Elway just finished talking about this. He said the ideal situation for
short pot shot.
The ideal situation for Kyler Murray is to play in a system where he's only in shotgun. Or 90% of the time he's in shotgun.
Yeah, he's going to be in shotgun.
Who said this?
That's not true, though.
Oh, John Elway.
Yes.
That's not true.
Oh, yes. Noted quarterback evaluator, John Elway.
Noted
quarterback guy who could play the position, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to find one since that layup that was Peyton Manning. So here's how you get around
it. You got to give him big credit for getting rid of Tebow, though.
That's true.
You do?
That's true.
Yeah.
The only
way you could get rid of him was find an icon to replace him.
Might be the second best quarterback that he's had.
You find an icon to replace him.
Here's how you get around that, by the way. When you put him under center, you run boots. You run move the pocket. You run deep 7-step play action pass because you're further enough away from the offensive line where you'll be able to have a, you know, vantage point to see over top of them. And then you put him in shotgun when you do decide to go drop back pass, but you can't put him back there and say, we're only going to do this, right? You have to have a running game from shotgun, which we're seeing is becoming more prevalent.
That's what Elliot was saying. He's like, the reason he doesn't like have his quarterback shotgun all the time is it ruins the run game.
Well, it ruins if you don't have a quarterback who can run. See, that's the difference. Because now, if you do have a quarterback that can keep it and run and hurt you like Murray can, you actually gain an extra blocker in the box. So it gives you that advantage. Like those zone reads when Russell Wilson's running them, they're impactful. Has their running game taken a hit? How was that running game this past
RG3
year?
RG3 was going to revolutionize.
How was it when Russell Wilson first got in the NFL? Was it pretty good when they went to the Super Bowl?
Was it? Yeah. RG3 was going to revolutionize.
I just think that the whole point
different
about
story though.
Football is about finding edges and maximizing value of certain players.
That's probably one of the reasons I hurt him. Okay.
But he still wasn't going to revolutionize. He was already going rotten already.
Well, we're talking about what kind of system he had to fit into. It was the right system for RG3. He proved it. It was rookie of the year, right? It's just unfortunate he got hurt.
Let me ask you this, though. If RG3, as he was then, were in this draft, would he be picked ahead of Kyler Murray?
Yes.
Yeah. Because of height.
And look what happened to him.
If you threw an RG3 in last year.
Kyler Murray was running outside the pocket.
Right, but Russell Wilson,
and
to your
RG3
point.
RG3 was a bigger.
Did Russell Wilson run a lot?
RG3,
he's
RG3.
Bigger.
And has
Pete,
he missed any time?
He's bigger.
Pete, has he missed any time?
RG3 doesn't know how to slide. Like, physically,
he
still
bigger.
Cannot slide.
RG3 is bigger.
He's
than
in his 30s and he can't slide.
Okay, Russell Wilson.
And sometimes it looks like
Kyler
Russell Wilson looks
player.
Like.
Everybody knows that slide.
It looks like Russell Wilson weighed 240 at some time.
No, probably 220 now.
The difference when you look at Russell and how he plays the position and how he runs and he keeps his eyes downfield at all times, you can tell it's his plane. It's based on baseball.
Have you seen Kyler Murray play? He wiggles through everybody.
It's because he's
going to take shots.
Freaking fast.
He's not going to take shots.
In the NFL,
somebody call him the Allen Iverson of the NFL.
In the NFL, you know this, Brady, better than any of us sitting here. The difference
as
between
the speed
when you get on the field from the college game to the NFL game is night.
Okay,
night.
And that's fair. But what I'm telling you is when you watch this kid on film, his quickness is – it's different, man. Like Lamar Jackson is fast, right? When he gets out and gets going, you're like, holy hell, that dude can move. That reminds people of Michael Vick. This guy's different. He's got this ability to take a few steps and get up to top speed really, really fast. Now, everyone thinks he's going to run a fast 40. I don't even know if he's going to run at all. But I don't know that his 40s going to be that fast. He could be like a 4.50 guy because I think his start will be really fast. I think he can get up to top speed in 20 yards really fast. I don't know what that top end is. If he's 4.4, great. But I'm just saying he seems to be quicker than fast to me when I watch him on film and how he gets out of jams and all that. I think his biggest issue is going to be, and it's what I've said all along with his progressions, is he's sometimes one and run or he's 1-2 run. He doesn't work through stuff or doesn't really see across the, you know, read across the field. But you can manage that with what position you put him in based on the coverage, based on your
offense. And really, you can't get away with that unless you're a guy like Josh Allen. Like, you need to have the physical skill set.
Well, look, he runs too much, too. And he also played on an awful offensive line with no weapons, and his receivers dropped every pass in their face.
Hey. Well, that'd be the other thing, though. If he goes to Arizona behind that line, they're going to fix it, but to what degree?
Right. I mean, they have to stay healthy. Need depth. Tell me this much, though. What were the knocks? Remember the knock on Rosen last year, though? Like, what was the concern?
That he wasn't tough enough, that he didn't like his teammates.
Do you remember how people were like, oh, does he really love football? Like, right. Is he going to hang around? And the interesting thing is, like, we're asking the same thing about Kyler Murray. In a way, right?
And here's the last question about Kyler Murray and the runaround quarterback. Who?
It's a good point. It's a salient point.
Last runaround quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Wilson won it, but he won it with the defense because they were number one in the league. But
I mean,
okay,
who's the last quarterback?
Let's include him in it then.
Wilson.
Other than him, who else?
I mean, Steve Young.
How many years ago was that?
89.
Okay, the game is meant to be played.
Okay, tell me this
so
much. Does Patrick Mahomes, if they end up, okay, let's just hypothetical. They win the coin toss in Arrowhead, AFC Championship game in overtime. They probably win that game. Do you agree?
Right.
Do they beat the Rams in
probably.
Super Bowl? I agree. With the way that offense was playing in the postseason.
So
with
what
the
are you saying about him?
Mahomes plays from the pocket. He also plays outside the pocket.
Right, but he's not a run-around quarterback like Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray's not as much run-around as you think either. There's some
his,
of that.
What
I'm
was
not
his rushing yards
that.
Last year, Kyler Murray?
Okay. There are some design runs in there too, bud.
What was his rushing yards last year?
I'll look
year?
It up. I think it was probably about the same as Dwayne Haskins.
No. Okay. I know. We've heard that before.
By the way, I just want to point this out, and I can point this out on the podcast, and hopefully I won't. I think it is interesting. I think it's probably beneficial that Stephen A. Smith said that and not Max Kellerman. Just saying. That Dwayne Haskins is a running quarterback because he's not. It's a stereotype.
I'm not going to touch that.
No, I'm not either. And Dwayne Haskins is the best
quarterback.
Jamie
pushed away
his
mic.
Dwayne Haskins is the best quarterback in this draft class.
Yeah. You and I have talked about this. I said that. He's my number one quarterback prospect. But who's two? Kyler Murray.
Go Kyler.
He's
my number two, too. I just don't know how good he is.
Kyler Murray had 100.
We'll sit down and watch film together.
I've watched him.
100.
We'll watch together.
140 rushing attempts, 1,000 yards, 7.2 yards per carry, 12 rushing touchdowns.
So he rushed for 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I said that.
It's not what you want for your quarterback.
It's at the college level, man.
What did Mahomes rush for in his senior season?
He didn't run as much.
Okay, he's not the same guy.
What did Dak
Ray?
Prescott run for his last 2 years there?
Not the same guy.
So we just talked about whether
Dak
or not you're going to extend.
Dak Prescott
extend
came in the
Dak
fourth
Prescott.
Round. Pick Kyler Murray in the
Is
fourth
there a host
round.
Of the show?
Nope.
Anybody
direct
the traffic?
Nope.
We're just going to talk for hours.
We're walking right
Patrick
over
Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes actually had 131 rush attempts for only 285 yards.
Okay.
That's a goal.
But
it's
by
a
the way, some of that was sacks. Because don't forget college football when you get sacked, right?
It counts against time. You, yeah.
Okay, so you'd actually, Kyler Murray had 1,400 yards then. No, that's right. He didn't get sacked because his offensive line is good. Nobody touches him. But he doesn't get any passes batted down either. That's a good thing, too, because nobody gets near him.
Okay, but first off, you don't have to get near him to bat down a pass. Typically, an offensive or defensive line style.
Oklahoma offensive line's pretty big, though, right?
Yeah,
they're good.
But in all seriousness, a defensive lineman starts to get his hands up when he can't get to the quarterback.
But Brady.
So usually, if they can't get a rush,
his batted passes down to Daniel Jones, who played at Duke and had to play Clemson's defensive line with his offensive line.
Yeah, one game.
But still, he played some
with 18 batted passes in one game.
He played Clemson 12 times. It was just Duke scheduled Clemson 12 times. Yeah. All right, let's transition very quickly to another quarterback.
Here's a transition. Yeah.
Good job, Will.
I didn't say anything. I said, let's transition. Is that better?
There's got to be a pause. Like a,
Nick Foles got no franchise tag, Pete. You're sad. You want to see Nick Foles make $25 million. He now gets to enter free agency. Maybe he'll buy your old house in Jacksonville.
By the way, he was never getting tagged, ever.
Obviously.
And
there's no end game there.
And nobody was giving up anything for him.
Well, that's why he bought his option out, so that way he was either getting $25 million or getting
pure
free agency.
And let's flip it forward even further. There's no market for him. It's a limited market.
Thank you. I mean, you tell me, what's the difference between Foles, Blake Bortles, and Ryan Tannehill? Is there that big of a difference between them all?
Well, between Tannehill
like
and Foles.
Three dudes walked into a bar joke.
A little bit. Super Bowl MVP.
I think if you put Ryan Tannehill in that same position with that team, I don't know. I'm not sure that there's that much of a different end result.
Okay, what's the difference between Foles and Dalton and Cousins and the rest of the Tannehill and the rest of the middle of
the margins are pretty slim, right?
Man, I'm fighting back a BDN joke right now. What's the difference? You know what I'm saying. About 6 inches.
Am I wrong, though? Am I wrong?
Is
he going to
change his number, or he sticks with it just for the precedent of the matter?
Huh? Is there more? Is
he also going to be number 12?
Okay, I wonder why nobody listens to this podcast. You took it on. It was off the rails.
Sorry, go ahead.
You hear what he said?
Yeah.
Oh.
But
it's funny. Made a BDN reference, which I'm not going to go into depth on that.
Is there much difference
between
See,
he didn't listen to
guys?
Our show about,
I'm not going to go into depth though, on that.
No, there's not much difference.
None, right?
Right.
So why would you pay Nick Foles $20 million?
Because you already played.
Back to the Marcus Lawrence. That's what the going rate is for those quarterbacks.
You already
His might not be, though. Who else is going to pay him? I throw out Jacksonville, but who else would pay Nick Foles?
I mean, Miami.
But Miami's in rebuild mode, though.
Organic. You can sign him and draft one. Sign him to a 1 or 2 year deal, basically, even though it's a 3 year deal, and then draft one.
Or if you're the Redskins, sign him to an incentive laden deal where
the Redskins makes sense.
To do though, just with all the money they have.
They got all the money.
That's what I'm saying. You make it incentive laden where if
he's not taking that,
you're him.
But you just said there's no market. So
well, there's going to be like a $15, $16, $17 million market.
Who's going to pay him $15,
Jacksonville, $16? If they do.
So Jacksonville will pay him $17 million.
Yeah.
But who else?
Nobody. That's what I mean. They can drive the price down.
If I'm Nick Foles, I don't understand why he would rather get $17 million to play in Jacksonville versus I'd rather just get $20 million and be the backup in Philly.
Would you? You don't want to play?
Here he won the Super Bowl. He's been to Disney World.
Wait a second. What did you just say?
He's been to Disney World.
You just said you'd rather be a backup?
In Philly than that situation down in South Florida?
Well, then it comes
North
down to
Florida.
Money. I mean, what's your priority list again?
Money.
Yeah, you said money's your number one priority.
That's money, right. Money.
I just said I'd take more money.
Who's going to give him $20 million?
He had a $20 million option they picked up.
He
had to buy it out.
He bought out his option thinking it was going to be a bigger market for him than there is. I don't think there's going to be that market.
He bought out his option thinking.
Okay, can I throw out a couple teams I think could be interesting?
Yes.
Okay. Tennessee.
No.
You've got Mariota, but it may not work out. I'm just saying. It's one that I would be interested to look at. Because think about this. Nick Foles takes care of the football. Pretty good decision maker. Doesn't turn it over that often. If you look at his touchdown to interception ratio, he's experienced and maybe it would make more sense.
What about Tampa?
I think they're bought in on Jameis Winston. Plus they have to make a decision anyway this year. So I wouldn't go that route because
Bruce said I love the
Bruce loves him.
And then, I mean, the whole point of Arians was for Winston.
And bringing in a guy like Byron Leftwich
too, right?
What's that?
Don't they have to make the decision on
yeah,
Mario? Right, but I think that decision's made if they sign Foles. I'm just throwing out ideas
okay,
for you, right?
Okay, who else? There aren't many.
Hey, because, okay, this one you're gonna say no to, but Baltimore.
Ooh. What?
Baltimore.
Nick Foles in Baltimore?
It's called insurance.
What kind of deal are you giving him to be
insurance? Wait, what happens to quarterbacks who run around so much? They can't throw from the pocket?
What are you paying him to be your backup quarterback?
That's a disaster. I mean, in theory, it makes sense, but it's
they don't have
a
backup right now.
Like, what are you saying to Lamar Jackson?
You run around a lot, you get hurt.
You run around, you get hurt.
But
you need to get better from the pocket.
Nick Foles to be your backup. $20 million?
15, 16, 17.
And then the other team you could potentially look at is, you're saying, Cincinnati Bengals, right?
Who?
Cincinnati Bengals.
Get rid of Dalton and keep him? Can't keep both of them.
But Dalton has zero guaranteed
they're
money.
They're the same. It's the same. They're the same guy.
Right, but there's no other options. Like,
Look, Jacksonville is the only real legitimate option he has. Huh?
I think Miami.
Miami's going into rebuild mode, though.
They still have to have a quarterback.
They're going to draft one, or they could get by signing. When Keenum gets released, you get him for cheap.
If you were Foles, there's like maybe one place that you'd want to be a backup, and that's probably New England. Throw that out there.
And then wait till Brady retires and then there you go. But what can they pay him? Oh.
They actually have some cap space.
But if Brady's going to play another 4 years?
He's not going to play another four. I think he plays another two.
Okay,
if that.
Look, all the possibilities for Nick Foles are drying up.
Hey, I'm just giving you different ideas.
You're going to tell me, hey, maybe he can sign in Kansas City and he'll unseat Patrick Mahomes.
That's actually not that crazy. No. I mean, he does. Andy Reid drafted him.
Aaron Rodgers is getting up in the years.
It's not that crazy.
You said that with a straight face.
No, hey. I gave you some things to talk about.
Kansas City. No, and I went, poof.
What
poof,
are you
going
to do
poof,
if we have to come back and reference this podcast if one of those scenarios plays out?
What?
What are you going to do if we have to come back and reference this podcast?
I'm going
to
say you were right, Brady.
No, you won't, because you go, bruh, 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 bruh.
I don't know why you keep ruling out Miami, because if he's 17, 18 million, they still have to spend the money.
Yeah, and plus, Eisenberg wants him down there in Miami. He wants him near us.
Of course. I mean, what else would I
have? BDN. We get the BDN network going on.
Banana hammock?
Yeah.
On the Miami.
He'll wear number 14.
Brian Flores did watch firsthand and torches his defense.
It's unfortunately a cap out at 19, by the way.
By the way, it's not like the Jaguars can be like, well, sorry, Nick. We're fine here, thanks. We're not paying you what you want.
They can go get Tannehill.
Or they can go get McCown.
Well, and that's why, to your point, I just don't think there's going to be that market for him. I don't think he's going to make what he thinks he's going to make, because the margins of difference to me between Nick Foles and Ryan Tannehill and Blake Bortles, and by the way, Case Keenum, who's going to be in this equation somewhere. He ain't just sticking
around.
What
about McCown? Nick Foles is better than Blake Bortles, right?
He'd be the best one.
What if he could get McCown for a year?
No.
Bridgewater is...
Teddy's one where I actually think a lot higher than I think a lot of people do. Like, if I was Jacksonville, if I was
Jaguars
Miami,
have too much pride after not trading.
No, honestly, I would.
I've heard Miami teams were worried about his medical still.
No, and I get that. So he's not a guy you're going to invest a lot of money into, but there is no doubt I would sign him and give him a chance to compete and prove me wrong.
Well,
and make it for a 1 year deal.
Yeah,
a 1 year
I would do something
deal.
Like that before I'd pay for
Washington would be a place
that would
make sense, right?
Right now.
Redskins, they don't have a lot of cap space. He would make sense there.
I think the Redskins are going to sign Tyrod Taylor.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
You can sign Tyrod and Teddy.
That's what I'm saying. You can sign Teddy Bridgewater for a 1 year very economical deal. See what happens.
But you're right. I'd bring in Tannehill for a 1 year deal and draft a quarterback before I'm paying Nick Foles $20 million for three.
I don't disagree
Same.
With you.
I'm right there with you.
But I mean, it is a little weird that Nick Foles would exercise that option that was going to get him $20 million.
Well, for one thing, all you need is two teams. He might have thought Denver was going to be the other team, and then you play him against Jacksonville in some scenario.
No, I know.
All you need is two teams. If there's another team, there's going to be a market for him. If there's not,
is it about money or is it about the jersey number so you can represent the BDN?
The BDN. Is there a 22 here?
Is there an end to the show?
Are you ready to get out of here? Are you having fun?
Once he heard BDN a third time, he was done.
BDN. Jamie's scared that we're going to get him fined. Talking about BDN. Was there any other news?
That was your previous comment that
Pete's still trying to figure it out. Pete's still.
I don't even hear what he says. He's mumbling over there.
There's a microphone in my face.
What were you saying?
You have your entire production staff staring at you right now.
Let's just say that Nick is the same height as you are. A lack of substance? Yeah, that's exactly right. I had something written down to talk about else in the show, but I can't think of it. I think it's like my fault that this thing
is off
the rails. I can't tell
you, one of my favorite things since the Super Bowl in hanging out with Ryan Wilson is every time one of us makes that noise, he laughs hysterically.
He snorts.
He laughs hysterically. All we have to do is just walk past and go, ooh. He just starts laughing.
I'm just glad that the three of us, we should really include Brady on it. I'm just glad the three of us have a text thread now. That's how I spend my days enjoying my the text thread.
Pete's like, you're coming down and you're too busy peeing your loafers.
Having oyster roasts at the Princeton compound.
I'm like trying to pack at my house. It's like, you peeing your loafers? I'm coming down to Indy.
Hello, this is the Brinson household. Bobby Brinson here. We're having an oyster roast and then we're playing croquet in the backyard.
All right.
Do you have one last thing?
Of course we have croquet.
You do? Last thing.
You really do have croquet?
We've had 101 last things.
Yeah.
Did the Brinson family get in the backyard and play croquet?
Yes? No, we actually usually shoot guns and
our bloodhounds out there to go pick up.
Oh, yeah. He kills
pigeons
things.
Or shooting or whatever else.
I don't personally kill things or shoot guns much.
Your family goes out and shoots guns. And
he's
kills
a bad
things.
Shot. He hasn't hit anything.
Yeah, that's accurate.
No, I asked him. He said he killed a bird once.
I've killed a bunch of geese and ducks and stuff.
Evil man.
Squirrels.
What? Little helpless.
That dog will hunt.
That dog will hunt.
I can honestly say
my dad's killed a bunch of elk, tons of
hunting.
Deer. There's like, deer, there's like we have deer heads.
You killed Bambi?
My dad did. There's a bunch of deer heads hanging in our house.
What? Of course there is.
Hanging? Mounted?
In Robert's den. Yeah. Son, come on in. We're going to have that talk. It's that summer you got tall.
that conversation's never going to happen.
Goodbye.
On that note, this is the Big Six Podcast. Make sure and subscribe, rate, and review. Maybe we'll have Pete on again if this podcast continues for another day. Thanks for everybody for hanging out.